St. Luke chapter 7. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him went throughout all Judea and all the surrounding region. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, I have been to many funerals. No doubt many of you have too. Some of you may never have been around death in a first-hand way, and yet even without direct interaction with death, we are aware of it through various social media, through news stories. We know that death has stalked and taken away people who are loved, people who are needed, people who are sorely missed. Walking or driving by a cemetery seems to show that what death takes, it keeps. Death doesn't let go, except. Jesus meets a funeral procession leaving the city of Nain. A widow is burying her son. A large crowd is there to mourn with her. A community that came together to show sorrow and sympathy for this poor woman suffering one more loss in her life. The fact that the crowd was there for this woman was a good thing. It's comforting for those who grieve to have family and friends to grieve with them. Even if you don't know what to say, it's good to be there. It's good to show that death has not marginalized the child or woman or man that has died, nor those who mourn. Our human words, our human compassion, our human sympathy do not, though, result in a change for the person who is dead. The most powerful of our words, the deepest of our compassion, the most intense sympathy we can exhibit, do not affect a different result for the one who died. We might wish it could be different. We might strive to exert our willpower to its utmost capacity. Nevertheless, there is no change. Death holds fast. Why is this so? Why is death so dominant over us humans? Why is it so feared? Well, because we are helpless before it. Even the best of our medical treatments do little more than postpone the inevitable. Even the healthy of us cannot outrun. The smartest of us cannot outthink. And the strongest of us cannot overpower death. As Martin Luther noted centuries ago in his hymn, "In the midst of earthly life, snares of death surround us." And they do. And another hymn put it this way, "Death doth pursue me all the way. Nowhere I rest securely. He comes by night, he comes by day, and takes his prey most surely. A failing breath and I in death's strong grasp may lie to face eternity for aye. Death doth pursue me all the way." Death is our foe because of our sin. Our conscience disquieted by our history of spiritual failures, our joining Adam in the fall from God. For all of us, the litany of Genesis 5 continues, "And he died." Because we are joined with that first Adam, though God sent, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, our Savior. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus is not intimidated or afraid of death. He, though truly man, is also truly God. The triune God who created all things is the one who has authority over death. And when Jesus meets the funeral procession and sees the sorrow of a bereaved woman, this mother of the young man, he has compassion on her. His compassion is more than a feeling. It is more than a wish. His compassion is a show of force, an authority that overrules death's claim on the man in the coffin. And Jesus' compassion results in his spoken word, a word of command. Young man, I say to you, arise. The Son of God was with the Father and the Holy Spirit at the creation of all things. And when God said, let there be light, then light was created. There was light. From nothing came light, simply due to the will of God expressed by his powerful word. And this is the one who is on your side with his compassion, his patience, his mercy. Jesus spoke, and the mother's son was raised from the dead. That is what Jesus desired. There was resurrection, and that is what Jesus came to do for all people. His word to the young man that immediately brought life is the same word which he speaks and gives to you. His compassion extends beyond the limits of that small space near the town of Nain. His compassion is worldwide, encompassing all peoples, all continents, including each and every one of you. And Jesus comes to bring life, abundant life. His compassion was so great that it brought him to his own death for you, his own dying in your place so that you might receive life from him. His own death was not his defeat, though our human reason, even our own experience, would have us believe that that had to have been what should have occurred. For how can death be defeated by death? Yet that's what happened. The death of Jesus was the death of death itself. And how do we know? Well, because death could not keep him in a grave. On the third day, he rose again. On that first Easter, Jesus showed that his power to defeat death there at Nain was no fluke, but a striking and awe-inspiring preview of the very plan of God for your salvation, for your rescue from death. A great prophet has risen among us. God has visited his people. And God still visits his people. He comes today through his word of promise and life, through the baptismal water of life connecting us with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through his body and blood and Holy Communion, by which we receive forgiveness of that very sin that puts us in the grave forever, or so we deserve. But that closed grave is not for those who believe in Jesus Christ. The struggle for us, though, comes right where faith and experience intersect. Jesus is life. He speaks life, but we see death. We experience death. And right here, we pray that we may grow in trusting that the power of Jesus' word of life is powerful enough even for us, that we may close our eyes in death and know that the voice of Jesus pierces through our sleep, our graves, for that is his promise, and that is his authority. That is his power over death for your good. Believe that word of God. Trust that this same Jesus who simply spoke, arise to the dead man, is able to speak to us, creating life where there was death and chasing away all that would presume to spawn doubts in our hearts. We pray, I trust, O Christ, in you alone. No earthly hope avails me. You will not see me overthrown when Satan's host assails me. No human strength, no earthly power can see me through the evil hour. For you alone my strength renew. I cry to you. I trust, O Lord, your promise true. Amen.